Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Out of My Mind podcast. This is Keith Crosby, your host, where we look at our world through the lens of Scripture. We look at our world and we interpret the world around us through a biblical worldview. And I'd like to thank you for joining us today, because today we're going to talk about something you hear about all the time, and that is disinformation and misinformation. We see people fact-checking all the time, and many times we wonder who's checking the facts or what real disinformation or misinformation is. Sometimes it just seems to be a matter of opinion or whoever is in control of the censorship mechanism. Censorship aside, what I really want to talk to you about today is something that no one disputes, but it's very controversial, and everybody has all kinds of crazy ideas about it. And I want to get into the misinformation and disinformation surrounding the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what some people call Easter. We're going to take a different turn today, theological, biblical, historical, and we're going to do it within this milieu in which we live of information and disinformation. Let's start with a fact, and that is that today, the entire world organizes its understanding of history around the coming of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the so-called good old days, before secular jihad, we measured history in B.C., before Christ, and A.D., and A.D. is Latin for Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. In other words, it recognizes that Christ died, yes, but he's not dead, and that inferentially points to the resurrection. Secular historians and philosophers and politicians and anti-God types of people have tried to memory hole that, to erase that distinction, to erase that acknowledgement by changing the nomenclature for measuring history from B.C. and A.D. to B.C.E., before the Common Era, and C.E., the Common Era. The irony of this, I guess, is that they align with B.C. and A.D. And so there's really no escaping the fact that everybody in some way, in some form or another, tips their hat to Christ and his resurrection. And so it's like a man standing on a hill and you say, so what about this hill? And he goes, hill, what hill? The hill you're standing on. Historians stand on this hill of time measurement. This brings us more into the arena now of misinformation and disinformation. Objective historical records record the resurrection of Christ and that the soldiers were bribed to say that his disciples came and took him, and that was circulated around the popular culture of that day. 500 people saw him in person after his crucifixion, and so there are sufficient witnesses. But we can ignore these types of historical documents and just deal with some of the links that people go to ignore the historicity of the resurrection. Let me set this up for you. No one denies the crucifixion. It's documented in all kinds of secular history and religious history. Everybody understands that Jesus was crucified. He was beaten within an inch of his life, crucified in the hot Palestinian sun, and died publicly. And then came Easter Sunday, as some call it, Christians call it Resurrection Sunday, where the empty tomb was found. And there are all kinds of theories about what happened. There is no dispute about the empty tomb. The Jewish people acknowledged an empty tomb. They still do to this day. The Roman authorities acknowledged an empty tomb. The Jewish authorities acknowledge an empty tomb. And even Jewish Orthodox scholarship today acknowledges the empty tomb. In fact, the Orthodox Jewish scholar Pinchas Lapide, who studied the New Testament thoroughly, believes in the resurrection. He writes, here are his own words, I accept the resurrection of Jesus not as an invention of the community of disciples, but as an historical event. And this renowned Orthodox Jewish scholar points to the fact, too, that people don't die for a lie. His disciples believed in the resurrection, and this Jewish scholar says that the resurrection took place as part of an indication of an afterlife. He believed that Jesus was a prophet, maybe, but he denies that he's Messiah, but he does not deny the resurrection. He acknowledges it as a historic fact. And Lapide points to the fact that his disciples saw him after the resurrection, and they turned from cowards to people of great conviction who were willing to die for their beliefs. But nonetheless, great disinformation exists. Great misinformation remains. Let's talk about this. in terms of the lengths that people go to ignore or deny the resurrection. Understand again that no one denies the empty tomb. People just try to explain away why the tomb was empty. For example, there's the swoon theory that Jesus didn't die on the cross. He merely passed out. And as they put him in the tomb in the dampness and the cold, he revived. And then somehow this man with hands and feet pierced, a spear thrust through his side, scourged, exposed to the hot Palestinian sun, and after supposedly dying of asphyxiation, had merely just passed out, this man moved the stone away, and then with damaged hands and feet, tiptoed through a sleeping Roman guard and escaped into the night. Does that sound reasonable to you, really? Or is that not a stretch? That's disinformation or misinformation. And that's the so-called swoon theory. Implausible as it sounds, there are people who cling to that in hopes of denying Christ and his resurrection. Then there's the stolen body theory, and that is that the disciples came in the night and overpowered the Roman guards and took Jesus' body and escaped into the night. More misinformation and disinformation, and here's why. Basically, you've got a handful of cowards, these fishermen, former tax collectors, what have you. Then you have this Roman guard, trained military, armed, who are guarding the tomb. If they fail to guard the tomb, if the body is taken, they will be executed. Now think about this. Do you really think these disciples are going to overpower this guard? And if they did, would they do it without casualties, prisoners being taken? Think about it. It's implausible. And yet, as the Gospels record, that was the theory that was circulated. Now some would try to give you a different version of that and say, well, the guards were sleeping and these handful of disciples came up and overpowered them. Either way, these guards would have been executed. Either way, these guards would know that they were guarding this highly charged political figure with their lives. And it's unlikely, it is implausible that these inept disciples would be able to overcome the modern Navy SEALs of their day and steal this body and get away unscathed. Now, my favorite example of misinformation and disinformation when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what I call the wrong address theory. And if you've ever been to Jerusalem, and I have, and if you've ever studied this at any level, you would know this is the granddaddy of them all, implausible theories, pure misinformation or disinformation. Let me just stop here. What is misinformation? Well, that's giving the wrong information. What is disinformation? It is willfully giving misleading information. And if we're honest, this next one is just pure disinformation. I think the others could be labeled either one, but ultimately their objective is to deny the resurrection. So I think they're all disinformation. But the wrong address theory really, really stretches one's imagination. What is it? It's basically this, that the disciples came and buried Jesus in a tomb, in a particular tomb, in a particular place. They spent all this time doing that. Then they stood there while the Roman soldiers guarding the tomb sealed the tomb, and then they came back later to the wrong tomb. They got the wrong address. It's like some sort of big condominium complex where they all look alike, and you walk up and you're three doors down and you find an empty tomb. That's not how the tomb game worked in those days. And I can just tell you this, if you've gone through the trauma of seeing somebody you love executed in the most horrific way imaginable, and you have participated in carrying his body to a particular location, you would remember that location. But for the sake of argument, let's say you individually forgot. What about everybody else who came and checked the tomb? They all came to the wrong tomb? Is that possible? And the Roman authorities, they did too? And the Jewish authorities, they did too? See, this is one of these things where people are just spreading disinformation in an attempt to muddy the waters, to confuse the issue. Why? We'll get to that in a moment, but I want you to think about something else in the meantime. Somebody who was so beaten and battered is not going to show up and meet with his disciples afterwards numbers of times and seem anything like normal. It would have taken months and months of recuperation. These explanations where they try to explain away the resurrection and his post-resurrection experiences just stretch credulity. They are implausible. So what's the big deal? Why is this so necessary? It all comes down to who Jesus is and why he came. If any of this is true, then everything that he taught about himself and why he came and why the world needed a savior is true. And the fact of the matter is, the world doesn't want a savior. It likes to live the way it lives in its own lawless, immoral state. And Jesus called us to repentance, right? Repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Jesus came to save the world, and the world doesn't want to believe it needs saving. You see, the answer is also found in Romans 1, that God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth, and the truth is that Jesus is the Savior. It goes on to say, for what can be made known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, for they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, animals, and creeping things. What's up with that? People create their own gods that they can manage. And so they ignore the facts that are right in front of them, like the fact of the resurrection, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the post-resurrection appearances of Christ. And so they concoct all kinds of theories about anything that will explain away this fact that they do not want to face. And so they suppress that. But let me just encourage you to use common sense. Look around you. The world is a mess. It needs to be rescued. And the fact is that God sent a Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for our sin, who rose from the grave to show his power over death and offer us forgiveness, restoration, redemption, eternal life. The question is, are you willing to admit that you need it? I hope you are. It's as easy as ABC. You admit that the world is messed up, that you're a sinner, that you make messes, that you create stresses, that you've done wrong. And B, you believe that Jesus came and died for your sin and rose again and made a way for you to have eternal life, a gift offered to all, but only granted to those who will receive it. And so that's the C part, that you commit yourself, that you surrender your will, your past, your present, your future, your life, your soul to Jesus Christ, who has done for you what you could not do for yourself. He died in your place for your sin. That's what Easter is about. It's not about a dead man on a cross. It's about a resurrected Savior who gives you hope that is a hope beyond, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow, but a certainty that you can be forgiven, redeemed, and have an eternity in heaven with him, where there's no sickness, sadness, or suffering. ABC, admit, believe, commit. And so while we're early and Easter is some ways off still, let me encourage you to look past the disinformation and misinformation and look at the reality that Christ came to save you. The question is, he offers the gift to you, but you can only receive the gift if you embrace it. If you push it away, then you don't receive that gift. Receive the gift, find forgiveness, let Christ save you. And this Easter, come to church, celebrate his resurrection, and know a peace, a real peace, that surpasses all human understanding. Well, that's it for now. Thank you for listening. I know this is a little bit early. This is my pre-Easter podcast, you might say, and I hope it's been helpful. Helpful in the sense that it helps you to look past the misinformation and disinformation and receive perhaps the greatest gift that you'll ever receive, forgiveness and eternal life. And if you've received that gift already, remember to invite someone to church to hear the gospel. Better yet, share it with them directly as their friend. Well, this is Keith Crosby signing off. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, you can email me at keithcrosby@yahoo.com. In the meantime, share this podcast with your friends. Like us wherever you find us. Give us a 5-star rating and help us to grow this podcast. Until next time, may God bless you and God keep you.